Chapter 15. Psychology and Public Control. While not directly related to education, it should also be noted that in Nazi Germany, while labor was extolled and glamorized, the power of labor unions was all but abolished. All labor matters were combined into the Deutsche Arbeitsfront, or German Labor Front, a monolithic Nazi organization created by Hitler to replace the old labor union system. Again, the agenda of the corporate globalists was at work to curtail any meaningful power within the working class. However, despite early labor support based on pro-labor Nazi slogans and propaganda, the workers soon realized that the promised labor professional equality was a myth, and labor problems continued to plague the Nazi government right through the end of the war. In light of the continuing problems in Nazi Germany, the globalists declined to create a labor-controlling mechanism with modern America. Instead, they began a successful program of buying corrupt labor leaders, making deals with the crime syndicates that controlled certain unions, and crippling labor through federal legislation pushed through Congress with corporate money. The Reagan and both Bush administrations were particularly anti-union. One example of this occurred in the 1980s, when the Reagan administration crushed collective bargaining by air traffic controllers who desired increased air safety through better working conditions rather than just higher wages. Another example came in mid-2002, when a labor dispute between the International Longshore and Warehouse Union, ILWU, and the Pacific Maritime Association, PMA, caused a stack-up of cargo ships along the West Coast from San Diego to Seattle, which threatened to cut deeply into the 2002-2003 holiday season profits. The strike was broken in October when President Bush invoked the Taft-Hartley Act, a controversial 1947 union-busting law that was passed over President Truman's veto. Under this law, an 80-day cooling-off period can be ordered during a national emergency. Although Bush's action received scant attention in a media focused on the impending invasion of Iraq, one official of ILWU, Jack Heyman, termed Bush's intervention a historic juncture in the labor movement. Heyman added, by invoking Taft-Hartley against the longshore workers, Bush is effectively declaring war on the working class here and the Iraqi people simultaneously. It has already been demonstrated how many U.S. government and corporate policies have been instituted by firms and organizations created and controlled by America's wealthy elite globalists. The globalists also created the myth that the Rockefellers represent the apex of America's wealthy elite, a description the Rockefellers have done little to discourage.